the name of the King, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. When you come to church, what do you expect to see? Other people? The cross? An altar with Christ's body and blood upon it? When people came to hear a great teacher that is in the account recorded for you by the evangelist John in his message for this morning, they came to see Jesus. In the pulpit where I was first pastor out in Amherst, Colorado, there was a piece of paper taped to the pulpit, and on it was written the quote from verse 21 of today's reading, "Sir, we would see Jesus." That's why you really come to church week after week, isn't it? You want to see Jesus. You've heard about him like so many people in so many places before you. The shepherds on the night of his birth heard about the Christ child and went to look for him in the place that they were told where he would be. The wise men too observed signs and listened to the prophecy of a great king and sought out the Messiah who was born in Bethlehem. When Jesus reached adulthood, others sought him too. By the thousands, people from Galilee and Judea and all over the Holy Land searched Jesus out wherever he was in order to hear his teaching and possibly maybe catch a glimpse of him healing someone, or maybe even possibly to witness him raising someone from the dead. Jesus has been in great demand ever since his very first appearance on the earth. And in fact, Jesus was in great demand before he even arrived. The entire sum of the Old Testament of the Bible tell about his coming. From Genesis 3:15, where the promise of a Messiah was made in the Garden of Eden, to Eve, all through the writings of all of the prophets of old. And there was a good reason for the great anticipation of a Savior. For as you hear from the prophet Jeremiah, "I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more." The promise of that covenant is worth seeking out. A covenant that is so one-sided that it is a treasure is to be looked for indeed. People studied these inspired writings and indeed looked for the Christ for centuries. They looked and they looked because they knew in their hearts that the covenant of God that he had made with them before he led them out of Egypt had been broken. They knew that in order for them to be restored to God, they would have to see Jesus. And yet not all the people sought out Jesus so they could be in his presence and hear the good news. Some of those who sought him looked for him so that they could kill him. And almost immediately after he was born, King Herod sent armies to look for Jesus, and all of the babies younger than their second birthday within the vicinity of Bethlehem. And so they searched out and for all of them, and they killed them in order that the king that had been born wouldn't replace him, this cruel Herod on the throne of Judah. When Jesus preached his first sermon, the people in his own synagogue in Nazareth sought him out so they could throw him over the cliff. The Pharisees and other ruling members of the church at that time saw him as a great threat because Jesus taught with authority. And so they wanted to see him too. Only they wanted to see Jesus say or do something that would allow them to pass judgment on him and remove him from among their people. Even here in modern society, people seek out Jesus that in ways that are negative, in ways to remove him from the public square. And in some places, for crying out loud, Easter eggs aren't even allowed because now that they are too much of a Christian symbol. As in ancient times, Jesus was a threat to their existence as he eroded power over the people. Today, though, you seek Jesus too, in order to have him forgive your sins. You would have him say something that would soothe your miserable soul from all of the sins that you've committed since the last time you were here. And people around the world and in this country too desire to see Jesus. In many places, their effort to see him is blocked by ISIS or other forces that would literally murder you for your beliefs about Jesus. In the sacred text, you hear words that give you comfort, though. Jesus points out that the Gentiles and all those present, including his disciples, the hour has finally come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Over and over again in John's Gospel, you've heard the hour had not yet come for Jesus, the Son of Man, to be glorified. But now, finally, in this hour, in this week of the Passion, the time has come. Jesus has made his final trip to Jerusalem, his final triumphal entry with palms into the city is over, and now he is to be glorified. The Greeks mentioned to be there must have been curious. Was this glorification to be like the coronation or anointing of a king? Was the glorification to take place as some sort of peaceful coup and overthrow the government so that Jesus could now assume the throne? How exactly would this glorification take place? And Jesus gives a strange answer. He says, unless a kernel of wheat falls in the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The Greeks must have been thinking, glory from falling into the ground? It seems a strange manner of glory, even for a Jew. Jesus even gives a hint of the fact that he is somewhat troubled about what is going to happen later in the week. He says, now my heart is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason that I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Ah, that's it. The real glory belongs to God in heaven. And by glorifying his heavenly Father, Jesus in turn brings glory to the act that he is about to suffer. Surely the Greeks present must have been confused by now. But to make things even a bit more confusing and astounding, a voice came from heaven, and the crowd that had gathered was astounded to hear the voice of God from heaven answering the only begotten Son. Some thought it was an angel. Others thought that it had thundered. But indeed the voice of the Heavenly Father had spoken in the presence of his Son. Just like at the Transfiguration and at Jesus' baptism, Jesus recognized the voice as his Father's and said, this voice was for your benefit, not mine. He recognized the voice of his Father, and he was about to explain how all men would soon be able to see Jesus. Jesus clarified everything in the last two sentences of the reading for today. Jesus said, but I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. Jesus proclaimed that by his death on the cross, being lifted up above the ground like a serpent on the pole by Moses in the wilderness, Jesus would draw all men to himself. The image of Christ on the cross is one of the most familiar signs in all of the world. No question who it was that's on the cross of the crucifix. For wherever you go in the world, even if they don't believe in the salvation that is offered by that magnificent act, people know who it is that's there. People continue to look upon that cross with Jesus upon it and take comfort that it is the death and resurrection of Jesus that defeated death for all. All that's necessary is that you believe. The cross with Jesus on it and the empty tomb of Jesus on Easter Sunday are the greatest reminders that we have that a Savior who has accomplished the work of the covenant, he has accomplished salvation for you. Jesus came not only for you, but he came for all people who believe in him and the work that was accomplished there on that cross. He spoke words that day, not for the sake of his disciples who were there and the Jewish people who understood the covenant of Abraham and the new covenant that is promised in the Messiah, but also he spoke to the Greeks, those Gentiles who were there too, thus clarifying that he had come not to save just certain people, but Jesus had come to seek and to save all who are lost. He came to provide salvation for all of lost mankind, for all who believe in him. Forgiveness, salvation, and everlasting life are there. So all of the confusion for all of the people has been taken away. Jesus has made clear to you that salvation comes to you from his good work, his bloody passion, and his resurrection that we celebrate today and every Sunday as an anniversary of Easter morning. The glory of God is clearly displayed on Easter when Jesus' empty tomb proclaims eternal life for all men who believe. The cross of Christ stands before you as a grim reminder of the death that is yours because of your sins. But Jesus on that cross proclaims the sacrifice that was made there once for all. Please pray with me. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, each time we enter your house, we pray that you would place before our eyes our Savior, Jesus. Enter our hearts by your Holy Spirit and turn us away from the sin that condemns and holds us ever steadfast to faith in the salvation that was earned for us by your Son, Jesus' death on the cross and his magnificent resurrection. Help us to proclaim the work of salvation by all means available to us, by our own testimony, by our support of pastors and missionaries throughout the world, and by supporting the growth of your church throughout the world. In the eternal name of Jesus do we pray. Amen. And the peace of God, that peace that passes all human understanding, will be with you until Christ returns again in glory. Amen.